All right, we're going to continue with our series called Pray, and it's more than you can imagine. And I want to speak today about mainly about the Holy Spirit. And in order to have us with a deeper and perhaps broader understanding of the power of prayer in our lives is to do a little bit of biblical anthropology and go back and see what happened to us and then what Jesus has done to enable us to connect with God in such an intimate way. And so let's jump in. You know, we were people, when God first designed human beings, we were created in the image of God. We relate best to those who are in our image. And that's why no matter what else is going on in this world, we were designed to have a relationship with human beings because we're made in the same image. Well, God also, in His design, created human beings different than all the other created beings out there that He made, from animals to angels to any other living being. We have a unique place being created in His image. He wanted us to have that intimate relationship with Him. And He wanted us to be connected to God, connected to our own humanity, connected to others, and connected to the environment we were placed in to live. We were designed by God to have body, soul, and spirit. So when we leave here and die, we are still missing an element of our being, which is our bodies, our resurrected bodies. That is the beauty of Christianity. That will be reunited at some point. Jesus has His resurrected body, and a few of the people, Scripture tells us, that came out of their graves and had bodies also have bodies. But for the majority of people, we will not have this physical body until the resurrection, until the new heaven and the new earth, and God does what He does. So we were created to know God, created to reflect God, and endowed with certain characteristics from God. We were created to know Him, and our dialogue with God is what we call prayer. That is our method of communication with God. It is simply a way of communicating to our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. We lost all that in the fall. So when God's plan was to send Jesus in our image, we were made in His image, and when He came to save us, He put on His image. Why? Because if you're looking for someone that's lost, you have to follow the path that got them lost to start with. So Jesus took that on. It tells us in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Another word for lost is astray, is to wander around. And I've shared with you guys before, we are far more lost than we are bad. We are lost because we don't know where we're going, don't know what we're doing. There is this disconnect that took place in the fall, when we decided to rebel and live independently from God, making our own decisions, relationship was broken. And in that, we broke ourselves. We got disconnected from ourselves. We got disconnected from others. We got disconnected from our environment. And that's why it seasons like that we're entering into, so many people are facing the loss of so many things, and some of them choose suicide as a way to get it. They are so disconnected from here, from themselves, and from people. They believe that to exit out is better. That's a sad, sad place to be. So Jesus came to find us, not only to find us, but to reunite us, to bring us back to relationship with God. In John 6, verse 40, we're told this, "For my Father's will," so Jesus came to find us, "and my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son," everyone who's lost, "and hears the Son and looks to Him to help and believes He will help," it says this, is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. They will be connected to the degree they will have life eternally with God. With God is the same thing as having life. Outside of God, we are looking towards death. We are separated. In, we have life. And he says this, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will give them their bodies back. But there's something else that happens when we are believe in Jesus. Jesus said this in John 14:16. He says, and I will ask the Father, all those who look to me, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. You know what advocate means? It means counselor. It means, some of you in recovery, it means sponsor. I will give you someone to help you. Why? So you don't get lost anymore. I will be with you. He says, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. They don't need him. They can't receive him because they're still in their lost place thinking they're doing okay and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. He's talking to his disciples. The Holy Spirit was already with them, but the Holy Spirit would not come in until after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and removed that which damaged the relationship. And see, we've all been lost, and we all have a tendency to get lost still. How many know that? When I lean on me, I'm a problem to Job, and I can go places. So we'll either obey rules to try to be happy, or how many of us in here were rebellious and the goal was to be happy? We rebel to try to find happiness, and we can't do it. Without connection to God, no matter what level, if you look for your wholeness, your connectivity in people, places, and things, you could, because some of us thought that if we just found Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, we'd be fine. We get Mr. Right, and we find out they ain't that right. And we're the common denominator. You have issues wherever you go. What's the common denominator? You and me. I tell people when I perform a wedding, it's not about finding the right partner. It's about being the right partner. You be the right partner, you're going to have a better relationship. That's the way it works. If you depend on that other person to meet all your needs, you're going to have problems. So we need someone to be with us. And God gave us the Holy Spirit. And that's problematic for God. Jesus suffered, and I'm going to really hit on this next week, but Jesus suffered knowing that there would still be suffering involved. You know, when you love someone, there's suffering involved. You have to deal, especially if you're committed to them. If you're committed to them in a love relationship, you're going to suffer. After Jesus, who kept telling us, the Father loves you, the Father loves you. I'm doing this because the Father loves you. I love you. I am dying to mend this. Then God sends the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 4:30, it says, don't grieve him. That means this being who lives inside of us has to suffer with us because he'll never leave us. So because he's in that committed relationship, there's suffering involved, and he commits to that. So we'll look at that in a greater way next week, because you cannot love without suffering. It goes with it. Especially if you're going to do what the Holy Spirit says he's going to do, or what Jesus said he was. He says this in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. His job is to lead us in the most intimate relationship inside of us, living with us day in, day out, never leave us, into the truth. That's what he wants to do. The world cannot receive him. It doesn't get that. The world is doing their own thing. So it tells us in John 14, 26, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, Jesus' representative in our lives, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. In other words, the Holy Spirit will guide us into how to live life. Everything. And will remind you of everything Jesus said. So he's got a couple different jobs inside of our lives. One is he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. In Ephesians, it tells us we are sealed by him. So he guarantees to get us to heaven, to deliver us there. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So once we receive Jesus from our lost place, we turn and look to him and believe in him. The Father and Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to indwell us forever and be with us. And this Holy Spirit now changes us a little bit at a time. And that in the theological world is called sanctification. That is now we enter into a new journey with God. No longer is God separate from us, but God is connected to us. I can talk to him, and more importantly, listen to him, and obey him, and do what God wants to do in my life and through my life. It is no longer about salvation. That is taken care of. Now it's about going where the Holy Spirit will take you. And let me tell you this, you don't always want to go there. In fact, when we battle God, what we are really saying to him is his truth? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I will not get fulfilled in this. I don't know if this will work out. I don't know. And the Holy Spirit, being a gentleman, he allows you to make your decisions. And this is the hard part. He has to go with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And so he will continue to talk to us. And so that is what's going on in your life and in my life in our relationship with God. So there becomes kind of a new thing that happens. Now, Jesus' disciples, one day they were watching him pray. And they asked him afterwards, and we'll look at that in a moment, how do you pray different? Now remember, Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him. Holy Spirit came down upon him when he was baptized by John the Baptist. His Father said, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased." There was a relationship going on. And so he prayed in a very different way than they prayed who believed God was out there. How many of us have believed God was out there somewhere? He's somewhere around. He's pretty darn busy. And in my background, I believe not only is he busy, don't bother him because he's pissed. He is mad most of the time. And so, you know, you just don't want to get too close. And so we have this way of dealing with God. We don't understand he's with us. Until we do. And that's my point this morning, is I want you to understand he's right with you. And he's going and wants to lead you. Your job is to respond to that. So Jesus, in Luke 11, 1, he was with his disciples, and it says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Now, a couple of Jesus' disciples, before they discovered Jesus, they were hanging around John the Baptist. And Scripture tells us from the time he was in his mother's womb, this John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit was on him. So he had a similar relationship with God in the way he communicated. And these disciples are looking at the way Jesus prays and the way they remember John prayed, and they said, teach us to pray like that. You don't pray like those of us. Because remember, 99.9% of the people that were following Jesus were Jews. And most of them, a super high percentage, followed the Jewish faith. So they went to Sabbath. They saw the rabbis in their dresses and in their, you know, all the different prayer shawls they would wear and the prayer beads they would carry. They were very familiar with praying. But the way they prayed to God was he was a distant God, and you related to him almost transactionally. If you did good, God would respond. How many of us used to think, or do think even now, that if I'm doing good, God's going to bless me? And we kind of look at our relationship with God somewhat transactionally. It doesn't take you very long in that kind of methodology to realize that's a sucky methodology. Because I've been good. And that's why some of us go sideways. We were good, and it all went south. I'm not following that. And the reverse is true. You know, even when we do bad, some of us go, yeah, I got, you know, God. Well, if I'm doing bad, at least I can somewhat wrap my head around God's going to spank me. But when I'm doing good. In fact, we have a great example of that of Job in the scriptures. For 39 chapters, he whined and whined and whined about his life. And you know what? That dude had stuff to whine about. He was at the top of the hill. He had it all going on materially, wealth-wise. And then it all goes to God allowed Satan, which he didn't really know at the time, allowed Satan to take away everything but his life. And his life, health-wise, was horrible. The guy had boils. He lost everything materially. His wife nagged him incessantly. And his 10 kids all died. He had some gripes going on. You know, and the Lord didn't come up to him afterwards and say, I'm so sorry that happened. After the Lord finally appears to him and speaks to him after all this complaining, which we wouldn't do in our lives, but Job, what a whiner guy. He was one. This is what the Lord goes, stand up. Stand up. Stand up and be a man. Strengthen your legs. I have some questions for you. That's trippy, man. What happened to God meek and mild and easygoing and comforting me? He goes, stand up. I've heard you. What do you know? What do you know? And that's the truth. We don't know. Thankfully, God gives us the Holy Spirit, who is gentle with us and continually speaks to us. That inner conviction you have if you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, prayer and stuff is not really part of your gig. Except maybe crying out to God that I'm so lost right now, help me until tomorrow. And then I'll take over. And how many of us have ever prayed that prayer? Oh God, get me through this and I'll never do it again. Knowing full well I will absolutely do it again. And then he even helps us. But when we get Jesus, everything changes. So Jesus tells them this. Jesus said, this is how you should pray in 11:2. He says, I'm going to give you the template of how you should pray. And we're just going to look at a couple verses. He says, this is how you should pray. This is the pattern. This is what needs to take place. So what's he say? This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. So he sets a pattern for them. First of all, he says, Father. It's relational. If you're going to speak to God, you have to have the mindset of family. He says, you have to have that going for you. He is not out there. He is not far. He is up close and personal. You are family if you have the Holy Spirit and you believe in Jesus. You are family. And then the next thing he says this is, listen, keep your name holy. Holy means separate, reverent, set aside. You know, this paper here, before I printed out the sermon, I had a stack of, paper, copy paper. It was just regular copy paper. But once these words were printed on it, it became different type paper. Holy means separate, reserved unto a purpose. These papers became different than the stack of copy paper. They are now what could easily be considered holy. They are set aside for a specific purpose. They are no longer like that paper. I treat them differently. I look at them differently. He says, listen, he is your father, but his name is holy. He is not like any father on this earth. Even the best fathers among us were flawed. He is holy. He is reverent. He is separate from us. He needs to have that place. Why? Because it'll affect the way we pray. I'm speaking to my Father who has all power, all wisdom, all authority. Nothing can stop his will. He can allow it to, his will, we will not always agree with. When Peter in chapter, believe it was 20 or 20 of John, Jesus is walking with Peter and talking with him, and he tells him, Peter, at the end of this talk, he says, Peter, you're going to go where you don't want to go. You're going to go through what you don't want to go through. You're going to hold your hands out, and they're going to take you as a prisoner to where you don't want to go. And he didn't say, and I'm really sorry about that, and I wish I could do something. He said, no. God doesn't apologize for what he takes us through. Why? Because he's got a good plan. And that is the most difficult thing in your walk with God you will ever have to accept. Is that what you think is good, God may not go that route. And then what are you going to do? You be sure to keep his name holy. He is not like me. He is great. He is good. And I'll tell you what, you will have to hold on to that. Our natural tendency is to do what Peter did. He looked at John, who was following, young John. He goes, well, what about that guy? And what did Jesus say? Oh, Peter, let me tell you about that. That's a little story I want. He says, none of your business. What I do with him is what I do with him. It's like, that ain't right. That is not right on so many levels. He didn't say that. He says, what I have for you is what I have for you. What I say no to you about is what I say no to you. It doesn't matter. What I say yes to you, what I take you through is what I take you through. I'm holy and reverent, and I will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will be with you, and he will guide you into all truth. And when you and I battle God, it's because we have a truth battle going on. You'll either hold on to your truth or you'll hold on to his truth. And if I hold on to his truth, then I'll go where he wants me to go. If I hold on to my truth, I'm all over the place. And I'll tend to get lost. And then he says this, after you recognize he's God and after you recognize he's not like you, pray this way, your kingdom come. Let your will be done, God. Your kingdom come. Keep that in the foremost of your mind, that God is doing something about his kingdom. If God is blessing you, it's to be a blessing toward the kingdom. If God has taken you through something, he's journeying you so that you can be expanded and more useful in the kingdom. You need to be able to carry what God's going to give you to carry so that you can use that knowledge and wisdom and experience to be a blessing in the kingdom. God's promised to take care of your needs, but that's not his most important thing. So being in the kingdom, his kingdom come. And this is the other thing. How many of us, when we pray, long for Jesus' kingdom to be established? Or do we pray mainly about our kingdom being established? Do we pray to God, what do you want to do here, God? What's your plan here? How do we long for the Lord to come back? I long for the Lord to come back. Why? Because I'm tired of the suffering on this earth. I'm tired of the pain I see day in and day out. Tired of the bondages and the lost and the pain people do to each other and the corruption and all that stuff. I want God to fix it. And then what do you know what God says? See, if you cry like that to God, you know what he does? He goes, well, thank you for praying that way, Joe. Have I got a job for you? What happened in the time of the Israelites when they're all crying out to God about their bondage? Moses saw it, but he wasn't equipped to deal with it. He saw it and he ran and killed a dude because that was his best thinking, and then he hit him. But God exposed it. Then he had to run for his life, and 40 years later, God says, now you're ready to do what I want you to do. I put it in your heart a long time ago. You just were running the Moses show. So we had to take you to the desert. He says, now that you want my kingdom come, yeah, I'm going to use you. And then, hey, I'll tell you what. You know it's God when you go, nah, I don't think so. Lord, super inconvenient. I can't tell you how many people I've known that want to serve Jesus, but it's inconvenient. I've had people, I had a dear friend of mine tell me, you know what, I want to go to your church and I want to be a part of your church, but you know, it's you know, I live out in this Tustin area. I go, whoa. Way out there. So I told him, here's what you need to do. Get in your car and push that one pedal. Then when you need to brake, put on the other one. And you'll be here in 15 minutes, you who really want to be a part of this. It was like, you know what? I don't think I really do now I'm thinking about it. God's calling me someplace else. I can tell right away if someone says God's calling me to something, because one, you don't really want to do it. Be wary of the person gung-ho to serve God. It's like, you don't, one, they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. And two, they think way more highly of themselves than they ought to. Because when you go in with God, it's a war. God doesn't recruit us to vacation. He recruits you to war. There's a dying world out there. Yeah, I want you to be a life giver. That costs you. That's going to cost. Heck, I know a number of teachers. They spend so much of their own money providing stuff for the kids that our great system doesn't even provide for. It's crazy. Do you know the taxes? California. Let me just tell you this. California makes $75 million a day on gas taxes. $75 million a day from the gas stations. Where does it go? Where does it go? And that's just one tax. Man will never fix us. Man will never. Our only hope is to walk with the Holy Spirit as he leads us into touching other lost people. And then building in us the capacity to actually help them. Through our connections. Why? We started disconnected. When God brings us, he brings us back into connection. Then enables us to be connectors. Your kingdom come. Your job on this earth, above every other job you have, is kingdom business. What would God have me do with the 70, 80, 50, 40, whatever years I have left? My goal for all of us is to make this world a little better than where we, the way we found it. You know, then that's the goal. It ain't about anything else, really. And then he says this, once you recognize Father, it's a family relationship. Secondly, once you recognize he's different than us, he can be trusted. He's not a human father, strengths, weaknesses. He's got it all together. Everything he tells us through the Holy Spirit is designed to help us. Never is there any other design. Once we understand that, once we understand his will is to make the kingdom, then he says, bring your stuff to God. Then he says, what? Give us each day the food we need. Lord, this is what I'm dealing with now. Give me this day. So we are to regularly present our petitions to God daily. And that food doesn't just encompass Chipotle. It encompasses all the food we need. Some of us need humble pie. Right? Some of us need other types of food. You single people that are longing to have a partner in life, let me ask you this question. How's your single life going? How are you handling your single life? You want to add somebody to it? God wants that for you. But he's also wise. How are you married people doing? You know, how are you people at work? How are you people handling your fears? How's that going for you? How many here have not stepped out into something because you're afraid to do it? But what if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it? Give us, what is it you're petitioning God for? And then stop and listen to direction. You know, some of us need to be quiet. That's part of walking with God. I used to think, and I really did, my opinion was always valuable and necessary to be added to people's lives. Have anybody else felt that way? Oh, asking me about it has nothing to do with that. I'm just going to give you my opinion because I speak the truth. Hey, you know what? The truth is you don't know the truth. You know some truth. That's why we're not to judge. Why are we not to judge? Because you don't know. You can't judge fairly. Only God knows why people do what they do. Only God knows the roots of everyone's life. Only God knows where the branches come from. I only know what is revealed to me about your lives. If I don't know you, I don't know anything about your lives. I don't know where to go with that. I can give you truths from God's word. But see, God knows how to handle it, every person, because he knows everything about them. So we are to leave that in his hands. And this is what he says next. He says, and forgive us our sins. Why forgive us our sins? Because God will not leave you. So if you are in a committed relationship, you have to forgive. Or else you can't be committed. You cannot stay there. So the Holy Spirit says, listen, bring your failings to me. And I will forgive you. I will drop that case. And then he says this, and offer forgiveness to others. That's a love thing. That's a love thing. He says, listen, you're an image bearer of me. As I drop the case against you, you drop it against others, or I'm not going to drop that case against you. I won't forgive you for not forgiving them. I'll just keep bringing it up to you. Why? Because it wears you down. It tears you up not walking in forgiveness. Well, I want revenge. There's only two reasons we don't forgive people. We want revenge or we want justice. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what this caused in my life. Oh, it caused horrible things. That's why you got to forgive them so you can be free of that. Because as long as I'm holding on to that, I can't make new choices. I want them to pay for the price. Well, that's not my job. I can't make them pay for the price. Pay the price for hurting me. And I don't even know what that price is. Yet I want God to forgive me my stuff. So we give that to God so that we're free, because God is committed to us. He has to forgive us. And then he says this, and don't let us yield to temptation. Lead us away from it and from under temptation. Rescue us from the evil inclinations in us. That is born. I was born with evil inclinations. How many know that you got evil stuff in you? I know. How would you like to have your thoughts blasted up there? Some of you, even right now. Yeah. What if God said, hey, check out what Fred's thinking? Check out what this person's thinking. And have that out there. You know our great solace in all that is 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Listen, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. You know when people usually fall is when they think they're standing strong. Put your guard down. Oh man, I've been doing good. And I've shared this a lot of times with you guys, and it's so true. How many of us, after we've done well for a while, go, you know what I need to do here? What do I need to do? Reward myself with some sin. I've been good. I need to take a little break here and reward myself. And the Holy Spirit's going, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea, Joe. I go, shh. Because that's what we do. Because now we battle. Yes, it is a good idea. No, it's not a good idea. Yes, it is. And what's the Holy Spirit say? Go with you. And that's where 1 Corinthians 4:30 comes in. That's, we grieve him. He sees the end result and goes, no, it's not a good idea. I mean, seriously, how can it be a good idea if the Holy Spirit says it's not a good idea? How can we, and we do think this, we do think it's a good idea, even when the Holy Spirit, God, who knows everything, says that's not a good idea. And we go, ah. In this case, listen, Holy Spirit, I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like those people. I can play with fire and not get burned. That's why pride always comes before a fall. I don't need it. I can be independent again. You're going to get lost if you do that. No, I'm not. I know my limits. I know these are all statements we've said, but you know, and continue to say in different areas of our life. And what happens? It causes us problems. I'll tell you what, if the Holy Spirit says it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. He'll never be convinced by all my rationalizations and justifications. It's okay for me to steal, Lord. I'm not being paid enough. You know, has anybody ever said that besides me? I know it's okay to do this, Lord. And what's he say? You know what, Joe? Good thinking on your part. I appreciate you for these things, because you're wise. The Holy Spirit, even though he's with us and he loves us, he'll never co-sign our stuff. He'll say, okay, go. He'll turn us over to the enemy even. He wants to run in your playground a little bit. Hammer him. Listen. He says this. There is no the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a great statement right there. Your sickest thought is common. Your most deviant thought
common.
Isn't that great to know? So you don't have to beat up yourself. The Holy Spirit's never going to go on you. Oh my God! Oh, I'm God. Oh, me! That thought. He understands. He gets it. He's inhabiting all God's other kids at the same time. I don't even know how that works. And he's intimate with all of us. He understands. And then he says this, but God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. That's a great word there, stand. The other versions have bear up under. Like he told Job, stand up. When God gives us an out to a temptation, it doesn't mean that the temptation is gone and never comes back. He means he will give us the strength to stand up and keep moving while we sometimes have to bear that. You know, a lot of temptations will leave you if you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing it. Man, one of the greatest lessons I've learned in life is keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Because the truth is, I don't want to do a lot of stuff I do. And I have to do it. I don't have to. I could bail and run. But I have learned and I've been in God long enough that that's not the answer. Because in one time in my life, that was always the answer. If it's too hard, bail. It's too difficult, move this way. If it's not smoothly running, that mustn't be God. No, if it's not smoothly running, it probably is God. I had this mentality of jam. And God says, well, I'm going to have to teach you to be faithful. And that's what he does. Why? You know, there's two things God holds highest, Scripture tells us. His name and his word. So if you are an image bearer of God, God is going to work on you to have a good name. Because many of us, especially in our crowd, didn't have that good a name. My name did not elicit applause for much of my, you know, for a chunk of my life. And my word. Is your yes, yes? God's not a people pleaser where he says yes, yes, yes. He teaches us how to say yes to what we need to and no to what we can't do. You know what? I can't say yes to everything. And I have to say no to some things because there's priorities. And I live today by my life of priorities. I have priorities and I live by those. One of my priorities is my marriage. I told her I'd be faithful. I am faithful. Because that's what I'm supposed to be, because that's what I said I'd do. Not because I always want to or trouble or whatever. It has nothing to do with my feelings. It has to do with my word and my name. If I tell you guys I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to go there. That wasn't Joe before. If I told you in the morning I was going to go somewhere that afternoon, that was an iffy thing. I don't know what's happening between this morning and this afternoon. Maybe a better offer comes. I don't know. I was constantly not, you know, my word didn't mean that much. God says, and this is one of the things that makes him different than us, his name and his word he holds above all things. That's why Scripture tells us as God starts to transform us, we gain a good name in the community. If you're working somewhere, do you have a good name there? What's a name they would say about you there? If you're an employer, what do your employees say about you? Do you have a good name with them? Are you a guy who does what he says? Or a woman who does what she says? See, that's all part of the Holy Spirit transforming us. And teaching us not to give in to the temptations, which oftentimes are the temptations we used to give in to. We are to think good thoughts. We are to say good things. We are to speak the truth in love. Not after four times being patient with someone, now I'm going to just drop the hammer on him. that Holy Spirit begins to transform us into the image of God. So once we're saved and the Holy Spirit's in us, our communication with God is now all prayer. It's all speaking to God as He journeys with us and takes us on the path designed for our lives. If you're not regularly speaking to the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on what He's sent to do. And if you're resisting Him and walking in crazy stuff, you're breaking fellowship. Not His commitment, but there's not fellowship there. If you're feeling super distant from the Holy Spirit, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit. Reveal to me. Reveal to me what's going on inside me. What am I feeling right now? What's going on with me? Talk to the Holy Spirit, then listen. The greatest way to listen to Him is the Word. See, Paul says this, if we have the Spirit, our walk in life is going to be different than we once had. And what's going to be different about it? It's going to be new. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, everything you're experiencing in the Holy Spirit is new to you. Jesus referred to coming into the kingdom of God as being born again. So when a child is born again, from the time they leave the womb, everything is new to them as they journey forward. It's old to people that are farther down the road. They know you got to do this, this, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, the Holy Spirit is from eternity. He knows everything. And so He is going to teach us new things, and that's what we're going to be fearful about. Ooh, do I go this? Ooh, it's new. He doesn't take us to the old. It's like a lobster. I don't know if you guys know much about crustaceans, but they have to leave their shell to grow. Their bodies inside the shell, lobsters usually do it once, sometimes twice a year, but their bodies are growing inside the shells. The shells don't grow. They have to break out of them and they move. And so it's a new thing to them. And then they start to grow a new shell. So what would these guys do if they just hung around the old shell? Oh, man. Or try to get back in it. They don't fit anymore. And so it changes all the time for them, and that's how they grow. So when God has taken you out of something, there's a newness to it. And that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. So when you start to experience new things in God, our heart is always to get to that comfortable place. If we just get this, if we just get that, God's heart is not about you getting that all that comfortable. His heart is to change you and make you a greater asset to the kingdom of God, to people's lives. It moves from being selfish to self-care and then to selfless. And so that, why? Because that's what God is. That's what His image is. That's one of the ways we're made in His image. So this thing you're experiencing in life that's new, anybody experience some new things in their life? New stuff coming on? Is same old, same old? And this is another thing. How many of us like the same old, same old? It's boring. That's why many of us did drugs. We didn't want the same old, same old. We were looking for something different. We were looking, some of us, the way we dress and the way we carry ourselves and all the markings on our body, we're trying to stand out. There is something there. God wants to do something in us. We are not designed to be the same old, same old. We're designed to be continually moving forward into kingdom come service. So Paul says this newness is going to happen. Listen, he says this in Romans 7:5, and we'll close here. He says, when we were controlled by our old nature, when we were lost and doing our thing, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. What that simply means is rules. How many of us were rule breakers? How many of us, the more rules they gave us, the more rules we broke? How many of us walking with Jesus ain't a fan of rules in now either? How many of us understand that as we walk with the Lord, rules are meant to be a blessing to us? They keep us safe. They keep us safe. And so he says, listen, when you were trying to do well and rules came in, your natural tendency is to think they're confining. And so you want to break out of that. And that led you into all kinds of stuff. He says, which resulted in death. Things died. Relationships died. Jobs died. Your hope died. Lots of things died in you. And he said, listen, but now we have been redeemed from laws, from rules, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Now I walk with the Holy Spirit, and so now my relationship is, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle this situation? I don't know about you guys, but all that communicating to God is a daily thing. Is it a daily thing to you guys? Do you talk to God all the time in Lord, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, guide me. What's going on right now? How do you want me to handle this situation? What do you want me to do here? What's up? Then it becomes an issue of obeying. And you won't obey if you don't think he's really telling you the truth. You mean this will be, if I journey down this road, it'll end up a calamity? Yeah, it will. Yeah, but it feels so good. Yeah. Sin is always pleasurable for a season. Do you know that? No, none of us would sin if it wasn't pleasurable. Why don't you bang your head against walls? Because it's not pleasurable. But it's dealing with my anger. No. We do that which is pleasurable. When we start to mature, we realize that pleasure can be put on the back seat because there's something more important. Happiness is a result of doing God's will. It is not the method to get there. Oh, I've got to be happy. No, you don't. You're in a war. You're in a war. How many people are happy in war? Never seen anybody happy in war. I've never known anybody happy in war. It's a duty to them. You know, I watched, you guys see that movie Midway? Dude, you ought to see that movie. Great movie. People did their duty. You know. People ask me all the time, how are you guys doing this? It's like, it's my duty. It's my duty to raise these kids. What I feel about it? What's that matter? I can tell you. You want my feelings? Yeah. I don't like it a lot of the time. Not a big fan. Not a big fan. You know. I like sleeping in. Apparently I'm the only one. Not a big fan of that. Not a big fan at all. Just the other day, this is my life, and 6-year-old, you know, they got a backpack with their lunch in it and their school gear. Every day they bring it home, every day they take it to school. Hops out of the car, doesn't grab the backpack. Head's in first grade, you know, hey, I'm just here. And of course, like the idiot I am, I pull out, start driving away, look over, backpack's here. For the love of God. It's like, how many times have I told him to not, you know, to take your bag with you? Everything's in it. What are you thinking? That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. You're a kid to the Holy Spirit. Dude, if I didn't have a backpack, he's not going to eat. I'm going to have to come back. You know, so I got to go back around and get in the line again. That horrible line. and then wait. Then I got to go to his classroom, and I didn't wear a baseball cap, so I got all grandpa hair. It's like I wasn't expecting to get out of the car. I got flip-flops. I don't even know if they're matched. But since I'm controlled by the Spirit and not my old nature, I gave it to Rye. Rye, get your brother. Get back. Oh, God. So what the point is? Point is, well, I got a job to do. So now that it is, do it with a good attitude. That's the challenge. Because after you commit to doing the right thing, then there's the right thing. And doing the right thing. So then there's the attitude. And the Holy Spirit's with you the whole way. What if the Holy Spirit did this to you? I'm so sick of you. Oh, I'm staying. But I'm going to give you the silent treatment for a month. Oh, well. I don't know where I should end with that. So, let's stand up. Oh, my God. Lucky for you guys. They're just entering the fray. Same with these guys. It's a beautiful thing when you're young. It's a whole nother beast when you're my age. So we got new stuff. We got a new week tomorrow, right? How many are already dreading going to work? Amen. All right, I get it. All right, let's do that with a good attitude then. Then ask the Holy Spirit, do you still want me in this job? What do I need to do? So why don't we just raise our hands to God? God, I know you got new things for my life. I know I'm a little apprehensive about it. Really apprehensive. I just want it to be easy. I know that's not going to happen. So give me a good attitude. Keep nudging me. And help me to listen. And help me to stand up under the temptations that I have in the way I deal with stuff. So that I can stand up under it and keep doing what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it with the attitude I'm supposed to have. And that's a big order, because you know me. So I need help. And I thank you that you hear this prayer and that you will answer it. Make me a blessing to everyone in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.